From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been nearly a week since President Donald Trump announced a broad set of tariffs. He called it Liberation Day. The response has been mixed, to say the least. It goes without saying that global trade is an important part of our economy here in Illinois, in the Midwest, so we are spending our entire hour on the subject today. My first guest is Austin Goolsbee. He's been president and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago since January 2023. In that role, he's currently on a rotation as a voting member of the Federal Open Market Committee. Previously, Goolsbee served as chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors at the start of the Obama administration, and he was a professor in the Booth School of Business at the University of Chicago. Austin Goolsbee, welcome to The 21st Show.
Brian, thank you for having me.
How would you characterize the state of the Midwest economy today?
Well, before the last 7 days or after the last 7 days?
Maybe both. Maybe both.
The question. Before the last 7 days, the hard numbers I would characterize pretty solid. You know, the unemployment rate nationally has been around 4%, the tad above 4%, and inflation had gotten way high and has been coming down and down and is somewhere in the twos. And so that hard data on both sides that the Fed looks at, the inflation side and the job market side, were pretty strong. We knew that the risk of tariffs was going to be highest to the Midwest. If you look, the Chicago Fed District is the seventh district. It covers most all of Illinois, Wisconsin, Michigan, Indiana, and Iowa. So kind of heart of the Midwest. Of those five states, four of the states, Midwest states, by an analysis that that was done out of Brookings, were in the top seven most at-risk states from tariffs. And Illinois is in that. And it's because we're more manufacturing intensive. We're especially automobile intensive. And these are the kinds of businesses that are the most affected by tariffs. So now fast forward to the last 7 days, I'm out here talking to business people all the time. And we at Chicago Fed are all the time. And what's on their mind is uncertainty, anxiety. What do we do if these things actually come to pass and they are of the magnitude that we're talking about, far, far bigger than any of the scenarios we're kind of running in the fall and in January.
Well, that was exactly what I wanted to ask about. How do the tariffs that we actually got match up to the expectations of you and the, you know, business and finance people you talked to were thinking could happen?
Way bigger, well bigger. Now, we don't know. I always caution everybody, you want to take the long view. I understand why the stock market, the stock market's job is basically to go get the information as rapidly as possible and react to it as soon as you can. And that leads a lot of volatility. The central bank is you're not supposed to do that. You know, we got to take the longer view. If at the end of the day, what happens here is the Secretary of the Treasury said that 70 countries have called them and are applying, trying to get consent. They're offering concessions in order to start a negotiation. If that happens, that we don't put these tariffs into place and we end up with what the secretary called the new golden age of global trade, then none of these anxieties would apply. But on the ground, what people express they're afraid of is that the stated tariff rates, which are well in excess of what they anticipated, would go into effect. And if they do, there's disagreement over one of the questions that I have been asking people for months is, if they put in tariffs, A, how much of those tariffs will you pass through into prices? And B, how long will it take for these costs to show up? And there is disagreement. One group thinks that the prices will immediately go up. And one group thinks that they won't be able to pass all of the prices on, and therefore the businesses themselves will have to eat it, and that they can't afford to do so. So there might be a bunch of bankruptcies, especially of suppliers who already have pretty thin margins. In a world like that, and where the businesses are expressing do nothing until this is resolved, that's an area of concern, because the hard data, as you know, only come out with a lag, you know, of a month, of a quarter. And we can't really wait to the end of the quarter plus 1 month before we find out that investment really dropped off and GDP growth is shrinking and we start seeing layoffs, unemployment, or on the other side, inflation starts soaring. I kind of think we need to be out there talking, as you are on this program. We got to be talking to the country, talking to the experts, talking to the people in the businesses, so we can get this in real time, because there's a lot moving. There are a lot of moving parts.
What is your understanding? I mean, we've heard conflicting messages from the administration about whether this is a temporary negotiating tactic or this is, you know, the new golden age of trade, as you alluded to earlier. What is your best understanding of that?
I don't have a great understanding of it. And I should start by saying the Fed sets monetary policy, which is interest rates. And we look at economic conditions when we do that. And things like this that can potentially drive up prices at the same time they're reducing growth and increasing unemployment. In my language, that's a negative supply shock. It's not obvious how the Fed reacts to negative supply shocks. In a way, it depends very much on the circumstances. But the central bank doesn't weigh in on the wisdom or non-wisdom of fiscal policy. Congress and the president can do whatever they want to do. If they want the biggest tariffs in whatever since 1930, they can do that. Our job at the Fed, I always say the Chicago Fed motto is the Midwest motto. There's no bad weather, only bad clothing. You just tell us what the conditions are going to be, and then we'll figure out what jacket to put on.
Right. I've heard this.
And the thing is now, what jacket to put on is not clear, because we're getting some conflicting messages, with some people suggesting, no, they're not going to last, and others saying, no, they're going to be there forever. But also just the uncertainty and the moving to people changing their behavior, because they're worried about what's going to happen. And you've started to see that in the measures of consumer confidence, measures of business sentiment. Many companies saying they're going to try to front run the tariffs, or consumers saying they're going to go try to front run the tariff, go buy a car before the price tag goes up. The more stories you hear about that, the more nervous you should be about what's going to be in the next hard data.
Classic April in the Midwest, right? We had shorts and t-shirt weather last week, hat and gloves this morning. You know, you mentioned that idea of consumer sentiment. I want to read a text message we got from a listener. Lloyd in Danville says, in part, "I will simply stop spending as a way to retaliate. I am voluntarily stopping my spending for 6 months." Lloyd is not a fan of the policy. How do you mentioned the hard data earlier that shows strong economic fundamentals, at least a week ago. How do you understand that gap between the seemingly strong fundamentals and the significantly worse feeling about the economy that's out there?
Yeah, look, the soft data, I don't know that there has ever been a time that there was a bigger difference between the hard data and the soft data. And the feelings about the economy, measures of sentiment, are almost cratering, really, and have over the last 1 to 2 months. And that's a concern. But the relationship of the feelings data to the behavior spending type data, there was a time 10 plus years ago where it was a pretty strong relationship, and it's why people paid a lot of attention to consumer sentiment. That relationship's broken down a little bit in the last, I don't know, 5 to 8 years, as consumer sentiment has been less of an indicator. There have been people been saying now for some time, they think the economy stinks, but they're still spending. In the old days, the idea that if you said you think the economy stinks, you would go into hunker down mode. That hasn't been true, but it feels like it might be a little true at this moment. And your listener in Danville kind of expressed it as a protest. I'm going to protest by hunkering down. Many people, it's not a protest. It's a, they fear for their financial safety. You know, they say, how do I know if I might lose my job, if incomes might have problems, if prices start soaring, I gotta build a little safety net for myself. And you see businesses say the same thing in a different context. They would normally, hey, let's expand the factory, let's build out more capacity, rent a bigger space. They're not going to do that when it's not clear what the rules are. And that's, you just hear that over and over, especially in the auto industry. We built the supply chain based on our ability to get these parts and components. We ship this stuff back and forth across the border. Transistor comes in from Asia. We put it into the electronic component that goes into the seat assembly. The seat assembly goes to Ontario, Canada, where they turn it into the seat itself. Then they ship it to Michigan, where they're going to assemble it into the car. And if every time it's going to cross the border, they're going to apply another 25% tax to it. The anxiety I hear the most is this: we just lived through and learned what happens when the supply chain gets disrupted all through COVID. And we just lived through and learned what happens when inflation is raging out of control in 21 and 22. And the anxiety is, this is just going to take us back to a thing we've spent the last 5 years desperately trying to get away from. And is this just going to put us back where these lessons we never wanted to learn become super relevant again?
Only a few minutes until I know I have to let you go, Austin Goolsbee, President and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. You mentioned, we've talked about this timeline in businesses, and you know, one of the stated grand goals of these tariffs is a renaissance in American manufacturing, or onshoring this. I noticed Dave Chappelle, the comedian, had a bit this weekend where he said he wants to wear Nikes, he doesn't want to make them. You know, talk about the business timeline for, you know, actually what it would take for them to carry out that goal, to onshore more of this manufacturing. And is there a labor market for that?
Yeah, there's a lot of, is it complexity? There's a lot of detail in that question. I think the first thing for anybody who doesn't look real closely at the data, the first thing to know about especially manufacturing in the U.S., is that the supply chain is unbelievably detailed and complicated. So you're not just making one widget with one input. If you look at a car, for example, a typical car has 10,000 different parts, and every single one of those parts and components has its own supply chain, and stuff's getting sent back and forth, added to one piece, that piece then sent, added to a different piece, that bigger piece sent and incorporated into the total. And in a world like that, the standard model, if you want to think of it as model of tariffs, hey, we're just going to apply this to the stuff that I'm buying on Amazon that costs five, you know, I'm going to buy a toy for $5. Now it's going to be $6. If you start applying big tariffs on parts, components, and intermediate goods that are themselves the cost structure of domestic manufacturing, You just got to be a little careful that you don't do more damage than you intended. And the steel's a perfect example. The last time we had tariffs on steel, the best estimates are they increased jobs in steel manufacturing by 1,000 to 2,000, but they cost almost 70,000 jobs in the steel using manufacturing industries. So you just it's
and
worth
also potentially
remembering.
cratering the soybean market as
And
well,
it'll
which
affect soybeans.
Well,
So
we're
it's
all
worth just thinking about that complexity.
Yeah, I'll suggest, that complexity, if listeners want to learn more about it, just Google Milton Friedman pencil video and get the basics on that.
Well done.
Austin Goolsbee, President and CEO of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. Thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate your
Yeah,
time.
thank you.
Coming up after the break, we're going to be talking more about tariffs. We also want to hear from you. How do you expect tariffs might affect you in your life? 800-222-9455 is the number. 800-222-9455. More to come here on the 21st Show. Stay with us.